Well, hey everybody, I'm Adam Schell, the pastor at Malvern Heights, and welcome to our sermon podcast. In this episode of our podcast, we are starting into a brand new series of sermons called Imprint, where we're going to be trying to remember some life lessons we learned when we were kids. And let's just be honest here, some of the most important lessons that we learn in life are imprinted on us when we're young. From learning how to share or play fair or clean up our own messes, there are timeless lessons that we should never forget. But as we grow older, we sometimes put these lessons of childhood behind us. But in this series of sermons, we're going to be reminded of just how important these life lessons we learned as kids can be. So let's get right into the first sermon. Back in 1986, Robert Fulham first published what has gone on to become one of the most well-known essays that was ever written. His essay begins this way. He writes, "All I really need to know about how to live and what to do and how to be, I learned in kindergarten. Wisdom was not at the top of the graduate school mountain, but there in the sand pile at Sunday school. These are the things that I learned. Share everything. Play fair. Don't hit people. Put things back where you found them. Clean up your own mess. Don't take things that aren't yours. Say you're sorry when you hurt somebody. Wash your hands before you eat. Flush. Warm cookies and cold milk are good for you. Live a balanced life. Learn some and think some and draw and paint and sing and dance and play and work some every day. Take a nap every afternoon. When you go out into the world, watch out for traffic, hold hands, and stick together." Now, this is, of course, just some of the wisdom that Fulham shares in his essay, "All I Really Need to Know, I Learned in Kindergarten." And what Fulham says here, he's absolutely right. There are so many valuable life lessons that we learn about the same time that we're learning how to tie our shoes. But the problem is, no matter how much we wish it wasn't the case, we don't get to stay young forever. We all eventually start to grow older. And this is something that the Apostle Paul, who was the foremost missionary and theologian of the first century, writes about in the book of 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11, Paul writes this. He says, "When I was a child, I used to speak like a child and reason like a child and think like a child. But now that I have become a man, I've put an end to these childish things." Now, Paul writes that for a reason. Paul writes that because he wants everyone who's going to read this book to understand that our faith is supposed to grow and mature the same way that people are supposed to grow and mature. But what Paul says here is also just true of the way that life is. I mean, when you reach a certain age, you're supposed to stop buying cereal that has cartoon characters on the box. And when you reach a certain age, you're supposed to stop rushing off to get your picture taken with every character that you see when you're at Disney World. And when you reach a certain age, you're supposed to stop building with Lego. And you're supposed to stop collecting action figures. And you're supposed to stop running for the fun of it. Or at least I hear all that stuff supposed to happen when you hit a certain age, because I certainly haven't reached that age myself quite yet. But there is nothing wrong with reaching a point in life where you start putting these childish things behind you. There's nothing wrong with reaching a point in your life where you stop reading picture books and you start reading novels. There's nothing wrong with reaching a point in life where you become more concerned with the clothes that you're going to wear instead of the outfits that you put on your dolls. There's nothing wrong with reaching a point in life where you would rather watch a documentary than another episode of Dora the Explorer. But there is a problem with forgetting the life lessons that we learned when we were kids. And that's not just true for the lessons that we learned when we were in kindergarten, like how to share and how to play fair and how to clean up our own mess. It's also true for the lessons that a lot of us learned when we were growing up as kids in church. Because it doesn't really matter if you learn these lessons when you were in Sunday school or in vacation Bible school. It doesn't matter if you learn these lessons when you were away at summer camp or when you were sitting in the sanctuary in the church that you grew up in. There are life lessons that we learned as kids that we should never outgrow. There are life lessons that we learned when we were kids that we should never outgrow. And we're going to spend our time together over the next few weeks talking about and trying to remember some of these life lessons. Because today at Malvern Heights, we're starting into a new series of sermons called Imprint. Throughout the series, we're going to be trying to remember these lessons that were first imprinted on us when we were kids. And to help us do that, we're going to be exploring some familiar Bible stories that many of us heard for the very first time when we were little. So in the coming weeks, we're going to take a closer look at the story of Zacchaeus. And we're going to take a closer look at the story of Philip's encounter with the Ethiopian eunuch. We're going to take a closer look at the story of Jesus' triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem. And we'll take a look at part of what happens when Jesus was dying on the cross. And just so all of you know, these are the exact same lessons that our kids here at Melbourne Heights are going to be learning when we start our vacation Bible school on July the 10th. But as we get started into the series, I want us to start out by taking a look at a story that just about every kid would put on their list of favorite Bible stories. If for no other reason, then this story is a story that we tell every year in the weeks leading up to Christmas. So, of course, I'm talking about the story of Jesus' birth. And the most familiar version, the most familiar account of the story is found in the book of Luke. So if you've got a Bible close by, I'd encourage you to go ahead and grab it and turn to Luke chapter 2, and we'll start taking a look at that in just a minute. But before we dive deeper into this passage, I want to remind you that we are trying to remember life lessons that we learned as kids throughout the series. But that's kind of hard when it comes to this story because many of us have heard this story more times than we can remember, more times than we can count, so we are really familiar with it. But what I want you to do today is to try to take a step back and try to listen to this story like a child who is hearing it for the very first time. And to help you do that, I just want to point out something about kids. Kids have a tendency to ask a lot of questions. As a matter of fact, research that has been done by a child psychologist at Harvard has found that kids between the ages of 2 and 5 ask about 100 questions a day. Although when you have a kid that's between the ages of 2 and 5, it feels like way more than that. But what I want you to do as we're reading the story is to think about the kind of questions that you would ask if you were listening to this passage for the very first time. So let's listen to Luke chapter 2 together. We're going to start reading in verse 1. Here's what Luke writes. He writes, "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to be registered with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them." So as you listened to this story again, what kind of questions came to your mind as you were trying to hear the story like a child? So I got to tell you, when I try to listen to this and think about the questions that I would ask about this passage when I was little, there are a lot of different questions that come to my mind. Like, I would want to know who this Caesar Augustus guy was and what a census is. I'd want to know about this weird name, Quirinius, and who he is. And I'd also want to know why Mary and Joseph had to go to Bethlehem when she was so close to having a baby. And then I want to figure out why they couldn't find a place to stay once they arrived in Bethlehem. Now, when I think about those questions now that I'm an adult, and especially when I think about the answer to each of those questions, it points to a reality that a lot of us wish we could shield and protect our kids from today. And that's because when we think about the circumstances that surround Jesus's birth, they show us that our world can be a dark place. Our world can be a dark place. I mean, let's just take a second and think about the answers to the questions that I asked about this familiar passage from Luke chapter 2. The first question that I asked was, who is this Caesar Augustus guy? Well, Caesar Augustus is the emperor of the Roman Empire at the time when Jesus was born. And this is the same Roman Empire that had invaded and conquered Jesus' people, the people of Israel, about 60 years or so before Jesus was born. The next question that I asked is, what is a census? And a census was something that the Roman government did from time to time so that they could have a fairly accurate count as to how many people were living in the Roman Empire so that they could make sure that they were receiving the appropriate amount of tax dollars from all of these people living in their empire. The only problem with that is there was no such thing as an appropriate tax rate in the ancient world in ancient Rome because nobody policed the tax collectors. So these tax collectors were notorious for taking more from people than what they actually owed to the Roman Empire. The next question I asked was, who is this Quirinius guy? Well, Quirinius was a governor who was appointed by the Roman Empire to be in charge of Syria. And it just so happens that a few years before Jesus was born, Quirinius had to order Roman soldiers to violently squelch a rebellion that had risen up in Syria so that Rome could remain in control and power there. The next question I asked is, why did Mary and Joseph have to go down or have to go to Bethlehem when Mary was so close to having a baby? And the answer to that question is, they had to go because the Roman government told them to. And they lived in a world where if they had disobeyed and not done what the Roman government asked them to do, there's no telling what consequences they would have had to pay. And that's also why they couldn't find a place to stay once they arrived in Bethlehem. Everybody else had to do the exact same thing because Rome told them to go to the place of their birth to take part in the census. So Bethlehem was overflowing with people who had been born or whose ancestors who had come from that town. So when we think about all of these circumstances that surround the birth of Jesus, they show us that we live in a world where the strong continue to take advantage of the weak. They show us that we live in a world where the rich keep getting richer and the poor keep getting poorer. They show us that we live in a world where far too many people are only concerned with taking care of themselves, even if they have to hurt other people to do so. They show us that the government continues to oppress people that they deem to be a threat. So yeah, when you think about the circumstances surrounding Jesus' birth, it shows us that we live in a world that can be a dark place sometimes. And as the parent of a child, I wish that I could protect and shield my daughter from all of the darkness in this world. And if you're a parent of a young child, you probably feel the exact same way. But the reality is, no matter how much we may wish that we could shield and protect our kids from realizing how dark a place the world can be, it doesn't take our kids very long to figure out the realities of this world. Research shows us that about 20% of 8-year-olds struggle with feelings of loneliness and isolation. Research shows us that there are almost as many kids in the United States of America today who have been diagnosed with an anxiety disorder as kids who have been diagnosed with ADHD. Research shows us that there are about 3 million kids between the ages of 3 and 17 who have been diagnosed with depression. And research shows us that there are about 11 million kids in our country living below the poverty line. And if your kid goes to a public school, your kid understands the darknesses of the world every time that they have to participate in one of those emergency lockdown drills that our kids have to sit through just in case an intruder comes onto their campus. And even if your kid grows up in a more stable environment, they still see this discouraging and dark news every time that you turn on a TV set or every time they're scrolling through their tablets. So yeah. It doesn't take long for our kids to realize that this world can be a dark place. And we realized that when we were kids too. But there's another lesson that we all learn when we're kids that is just as powerful for us. And this is a message that I remember learning one night when I was a kid long, long ago after my parents had sent me off to bed that night. So after my parents told me it was time to go to bed, I shuffled back to my bedroom, I put on my PJs, I brushed my teeth, I hopped into bed, and Mr. Sandman soon should have been coming to bring me a dream. But before I could nod off that night, far off in the distance, I heard a faint boom. Now I knew it was bedtime, so I needed to try to go to sleep, so I rolled over, I closed my eyes tighter, and I tried to fall asleep, but before I could get to sleep, I heard the noise again, only this time it seemed like it was a lot
closer. Boom. Now that noise just lingered for a while. And a few seconds later, I heard that boom again. And then there was another and another and another. Now at that point, I did what any kid would have done. I climbed out of bed and I walked over to my bedroom window and I pulled back my curtains just enough so that I could peek outside so that I could try to see what it was that was happening outside of my house. But as I looked out the window that night, it was pitch black. I couldn't see a thing outside. But as I was standing there peeking through my bedroom curtains, that noise came again. There was another boom that felt like it shook the entire house. So I was freaking out at that moment in time, because I couldn't figure out what in the world was happening. So my mind started playing tricks on me, and these crazy thoughts started rushing through my imagination as my imagination ran wild. I imagined that there was some sort of criminal mastermind who was lurking just below my windowsill, trying to blow a hole into the house wall so that he could come inside and steal my world-renowned collection of Lego blocks and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle action figures. So in that moment, I did what any sensible child would have done to protect myself from the evils of this world. I jumped back into bed, I pulled my blanket up over my head, I closed my eyes as tight as I possibly could, and I just wished that whatever was making that noise would go away. Now, I don't know if I hid underneath my blankets for a minute or an hour, but after what felt like an eternity, I finally worked up enough courage to climb out from under the blankets. But even after I worked up enough courage to come out from underneath the blankets, that did nothing to stop these constant booming sounds that were ringing right outside my house. So I decided to walk back up into the living room because I needed to avoid a full-blown panic attack in that moment, or at the very least, I needed to alert my parents to this perceived, prowler that was hanging right outside our windows. So I went back up to the living room and I asked my parents about these booms that I was hearing that night. And my parents did what any good parent would have done. They stopped and they listened so that they could hear these booms for themselves. And once they did, my dad looked over at me and he said, "You don't have anything to be scared of. Those are the sounds from the tanks that are training on the tank training range at Fort Knox right now. Fort Knox is just a few miles away from my house." So my dad tried to convince me that everything was fine, I was perfectly safe, I could go back to bed. The only problem was, I didn't believe him, because I couldn't see these tanks firing off these training rounds, so I was still convinced that there had to be somebody lurking just outside of my house. So my dad took me down to the front door, and he flipped on the front porch light, and opened the door so that I could look out. And the light from that one little light bulb drove out the darkness around the front of our house. And I could see for myself that there was nothing and there was no one lurking in our yard. So at that moment, I knew that I was safe, that I was secure, that I was able to go back and go to sleep. And this is a lesson that we all learn when we're kids, one way or another. We all learn that when things are dark, you just need a little light. When things are dark, you just need a little light. Now, you may not have realized that lesson because you thought that somebody was trying to blow a hole into your house. You may have realized that one day when you were trying to find a toy that got stuck under your bed and you needed to find a flashlight. But we all learn this lesson at some point along the way. When things are dark, you just need a little light. And that's exactly what the world got when Jesus was born. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus tells us this. He says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me won't walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So yeah, even as kids, we learn that our world can be a dark place. But Jesus is the light of the world. So when we follow Jesus, we don't have to walk in darkness. So yes, when we look at this world, we can feel like it is filled with hatred. But when we follow Jesus, we can know that we are loved. And when we look at this world around us, we can feel like the world around us is nothing but a chaotic place. But when we follow Jesus, we can experience true peace. When we look at the world around us, we can see a world that is trying to kill our spirits, to destroy the joy we have inside of us. But when we follow Jesus, we can be filled with this true and lasting joy. When we look at the world around us, it can seem like it's a dark place, a scary place. But when we follow Jesus, we can have real hope. Because even though the world can be a dark place, the light of Jesus is brighter than any darkness. And in the book of Matthew, or Matthew's biography of Jesus, Jesus tells us that we have this light inside of us. In the book of Matthew, in Matthew 5, verse 14, Jesus says, You are the light of the world. And then he goes on in verse 16 to say, let your light shine before people. Now this is a lesson that we all need to learn, no matter how old or how young we may be. We may live in a dark world, but when life feels dark, we need to shine Jesus' light. When life feels dark, we need to shine Jesus' light. Jesus is the light of the world. In Matthew 5, he tells us that we have this light inside of us, and because we have the light of Jesus inside of us, we need to take this light and shine it into the darkness all around us. Now, over the next few weeks, as we continue through this series, we're going to talk a little bit more about how we can shine our darkness and shine our light into some of the darkness that we see in the world around us. But for today, the first lesson we need to remember that we learned as kids is how powerful light can be. So no matter what darkness it is that you're experiencing in your life right now, I want you to know that that darkness will not overwhelm you. That darkness will not consume you, because you have the light of the world on your side. You have Jesus in you. And because you have Jesus in you, his light will shine in and through you and will help you overcome whatever darkness you may face. Let's pray together. God, as we come to you in this time of prayer, we are so thankful that you sent your Son into this world for us. And God, you sent your Son into this world because you know that this world can be a dark, dark place. You know that our world can feel like it is filled with hatred and despair and chaos and sorrow, God. But by sending your Son into this world, you allow love to defeat hatred. You allow joy to conquer our sorrow. You allow us to find peace in the face of chaos. And you allow us to find and have true hope in the face of despair. And God, you know how much every single one of us need to have hope and peace and joy and love in our lives. So thank you for sending your Son into this world to shine that light for us. And God, let us do what your Son, what Jesus calls us to do in Matthew chapter 5. Let us radiate that light. Let us let his light shine through our lives into the darkness of the world around us. Because God, we're not the only people who struggle against the dark. This world is filled with people who are going through situations and circumstances that are darker than any of us can even begin to imagine. So God, let us carry your light. Let us let it shine in the world around us. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, hey, it's Adam again, and I just want to thank you for tuning in to this episode of our sermon podcast. And I hope that this episode has reminded you that even though there are some life lessons we wish we didn't have to learn, like the fact that this world is a dark place, that there are things that we can do about it. Because yes, even though the world can feel like a dark place sometimes, all of us are able to shine the light of Jesus through our lives. So, let me encourage you to do that. When you see darkness in the world around you, shine Jesus' light. Well, that's going to do it for this week's episode, but I want to encourage you to come back and join us next week as the next sermon in this series drops. As always, if you subscribe to our podcast, that episode will be sent straight to your favorite podcasting app, or you can come and worship with us live on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time on our church website at mhbclouisville.com/live. We'd love to have you come and join us. But until next time, I hope that you have a great week. I will be praying for you, and we'll see you back here soon for another Sermon Podcast.